Welcome to another edition of In Focus. It is Wednesday. That means we focus on the Leeds, Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit. And very pleased to be joined once again via Zoom by Senior Public Health Inspector Kim McCann. Kim, welcome back.
Thanks, Bob.
Today we're talking about West Nile virus. And I got to say, I mean, we heard about West Nile virus before the pandemic and that, but whenever you throw the word virus out there these days, it seems there's alarm bells that go off for people. West Nile is nothing new around here, but it's definitely worth getting a refresher on for sure, especially this time of year. So I guess we can just start off by you telling us what West Nile virus is.
Yeah, West Nile virus is a virus that is in certain populations of mosquitoes and can be transmitted through a mosquito bite to a person or animal, such as a bird or a horse. Now, West Nile virus, you're right, it has been around for a long time. We first discovered it in Ontario in about 2003. And for some, you know, for most people, it causes mild symptoms, but for some, it can actually cause some severe symptoms. So they can vary from having a fever, headache, muscle ache, joint pain, tiredness, rash, and sensitivities to light. But the good thing about West Nile virus is it's one of those things that it's a preventable disease. It's easily prevented. If you can stop the mosquitoes from biting you, then you can prevent West Nile virus.
And I was going to say, I can remember when it was the scary thing on the block. And
yeah,
we now know, I mean, how times have changed. But when we look at it, we can't, you know, be cavalier about it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's important to remember that, you know, we have had locally acquired cases of West Nile virus. Now, the type of mosquito, which we'll probably get into in a few minutes, but the type of mosquito that transmits the virus is more of a container mosquito. So urban areas tend to see more West Nile virus than what we see out in our rural population, just because we don't necessarily have that high population of the container mosquito. But they certainly are around, and it certainly is a risk even locally. So it is important to prepare and, you know, think about some things we can do to prevent this virus from being transmitted.
Yeah, for sure. And boy, the mosquitoes are bad this year too. I think the conditions have been just perfect for breeding and then sustainability for them.
Yeah, for sure. So mosquitoes love moist areas, and we certainly have had a lot of rain, which leads to, you know, happy breeding for the mosquitoes.
I think that that's the new motto for Lanark, Leeds and Grenville: visit the moist area, because that's essentially what we have here. It's very spongy out there for sure. Let's talk about what we have to do as a community to work together to prevent West Nile infections.
Yeah, so as a community, it's very important to be aware that it is a possibility in our region and that we can prevent mosquito breeding grounds and hopefully prevent mosquito bites. So as a community, you know, it's wise to help clean up whenever our municipalities have those clean up your community days. Take part in those. If you see garbage laying on the ground, so for example, a pop can or an old tire, things like that, if you can help keep your community clean, that will reduce the type of mosquito that likes to breed or likes to transmit the West Nile virus. So like I said before, the type of mosquito that's commonly associated with West Nile virus are the container mosquitoes. So they like to live in old tires. They like to live in bird baths. They like to live in top cans that you might see on the ground or in catch basins. So, you know, collectively, if we can keep our communities clean, it will reduce breeding grounds and living sites for those types of mosquitoes.
Okay. And, you know, as that's sort of looking at things at a bigger picture, but as we bring it down to our own homesteads, there's things that we can be doing as well on our own properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So think of the small areas where a mosquito might like to breed. So think of your, bird baths, or if you have a pool, keep your pool circulating and keep it clean. If you have eaves troughs, keep them cleaned out. That's very important to reduce mosquito breeding around your home. Again, it's a warm, organic, full of water type of infrastructure if we're part of our house. So if you can keep those clean, it really reduces mosquitoes. If you have standing water on your property, maybe you fill in any divots that may be on your property again, just to reduce those mosquito breeding grounds and standing water that may be on your property. The one thing to remember is mosquitoes really don't travel long distances. So if mosquito was born on your property, chances are it's going to live there for its entire life.
Unless it gets in your car. That must be like an earth-shattering experience for a mosquito, because we've had that happen where there's been one in the car. We get at the lake, and then we come back home and open the door and the mosquito flies out. And it's like, well, there's its new life. Hope it didn't have any family back home. But anyway. Now, when it comes to responsibilities and so on, where does it lie with the municipality?
Most municipalities do have draining bylaws. They will also, so for people's property to prevent standing water, they'll also keep our ditches clean. And in municipalities with catch basin system, they'll keep the catch basins cleaned out as well. So oftentimes you see them being vacuumed. All of those, that's a really good strategy, because it's getting rid of the organics down and deep in the catch basin. Getting rid of, keeping the water clean, keeping the water flowing, which are all good strategies to prevent mosquito breeding. Mosquito breeding tends to be more so with this type of mosquito. The container mosquito likes still water versus flowing water. So if they can keep those catch basins flowing, then there's less chance the mosquito has to breed in that area. Some municipalities will have bylaws around property maintenance. So for example, if there's a pool that has a lot of standing water and it's green, not being circulated, then potentially a municipal bylaw would be able to help in those situations too.
Now, I know that the health unit has a role in this as well. There's obviously that health component that has to oversee everything, because obviously we're talking about a virus in West Nile virus.
Yeah, that's right. So the health unit is responsible for conducting mosquito surveillance. So we're in our eight largest municipalities that do have a catch basin infrastructure. We do mosquito testing, catching and testing. And we do that through the months, usually around the end of June. So we're actually starting that program in a week or so. And it runs right through until the end of September. And what we're doing is we're monitoring for different species of mosquitoes, and then also monitoring for different mosquito-borne viruses. The West Nile virus is actually just one. We're also looking for Zika virus. We're also looking for Eastern equine encephalitis as well. So we do a variety of different mosquito surveillance activities. The other thing that we commonly do is education. We want people to be aware that, there is a risk and how to prevent, how one can prevent being bitten by mosquitoes. So, even think of, this is kind of leading into the next question, but I'm going to jump ahead. So think of some personal protective things that you can do for yourself. So wearing an insect repellent that contains DEET or a keratin will repel mosquitoes. That's very important. Wearing light colored clothing, wearing long pants, anything to help prevent yourself from actually being bitten will help reduce and prevent West Nile virus, a person from actually getting West Nile virus.
It really sounds an awful lot like what we were talking about not too long ago when it comes to ticks.
It's
the same sort of protective measures that we need to take. And now let's be honest here. When people are outside having a good time in the summer, often they're not going to be tucking their pants into their socks and so on. They're going to be wearing shorts and, t-shirts, tank tops, whatever. And as we talk about other things like protection from the sun and wearing a proper SPF and, a nice hat to keep the sun out of our eyes and all that, sunglasses, whatever. When it comes to mosquito repellents, is there anything that you really recommend? I know you mentioned one with DEET there, but is it worrisome if you use too much of it?
It can be. It is a chemical and, possibly people may have certain sensitivities. I personally don't like putting it directly onto my skin. So what I tend to do is to put it onto my clothing. I put it on my shoes or I put it on my shirt or shorts. that I'm wearing, so that I don't have the direct contact with my skin. The other thing is, you know, take a shower when you come inside to help get that chemical off you quickly. Those are a couple of things you should do, and really read the manufacturer's instructions. Children who are under 2 years of age should not use a chemical that contains DEET, just because they're so little and susceptible to irritation from chemicals. And also, if the child is under 12, then you'd want to look for a DEET concentration of a 10% or less. Now, with adults, a typical insect repellent does contain 30% DEET. So that is typical for an adult insect repellent. And again, if you're not comfortable putting it directly on your skin, put it on your clothing, and that will help too.
And there's children-specific repellents out there as well that you can buy.
Yes, there are. And you can, and just take a look at the concentration. The DEET concentration will be much, much less for children than it would be for an adult. So it is important to take a look and read the labels for the type of mosquito repellent you're looking for, or who you're looking for.
So one more time then, if you don't mind, if someone has been out and about and so on and enjoying the outdoors, and they know that they've been bitten by mosquitoes and so on, and then they start to feel a little bit off, what are the symptoms that they should be looking for when it comes mm-hmm. to West Nile virus?
Yeah, so symptoms will include headache, fever, muscle weakness, joint pain, extreme tiredness, a rash, and sensitivity to light. So if you've been bitten by a mosquito and you're having any of those symptoms, then it is important to go and see your healthcare provider and let them know. West Nile virus is diagnosed through a blood test, and they can go ahead and do that and treat you accordingly.
Are there any local cases so far this year?
No, not this year. And actually last year in the whole province, the number of cases were down. Now the amount of rain versus the dryness actually makes a difference. And surprisingly, with this type of mosquito, because this type of mosquito that transmits West Nile virus, because it likes the still standing warm organic water, when we have really rainy, kind of wet environment, it naturally flushes, it keeps our waters flowing, it naturally flushes the catch basin, so we tend to see less West Nile virus than what we would in a drought year or in a very hot hot year where it's been less precipitation. So that is kind of interesting with this type of mosquito. They really like the shallow, warm organic water.
Okay. Well, Kim, I want to thank you so much for once again providing some great information to our listeners. And if our listeners would like to find out a little bit more, what is the best way for them to do so?
We do have lots of information on our website at healthunit.org. We're also putting out information on our social media all the time, where they can give us a call at 1-800-660-5853.
All right, perfect. Well, Kim, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, as I said, and we look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. That's it for another edition of In Focus. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon.